Today we're going to be talking about graduates. Man, you know, I remember when I, I remember when I when I graduated college. I didn't graduate high school. I was actually a 10th grade dropout. And then at 30, I dropped out, dude, just because of really no place to live, and so I went on the streets. I was in the 10th grade. It was the last grade that I finished. And then, due to all kinds of poor choices, and you guys understand what I'm saying. And I, of course, I didn't go back to school. And then I got saved when I was 27. A month before I turned 27, and then when I was 30, let's see, 32. I think I was 32. I went to, I went and got my GED. And really, the only reason I went and got my GED was because I couldn't. How many remember Pastor Brothers? He's been here to visit. Yeah, he was annoying me so bad, and so I did it just to honestly just to quiet him up. That's all. I'm like, dude, I don't want to hear you anymore. And so I went and got my GED so that I didn't have to listen to him anymore. And then of course after that, God said, you're going to college, and I'm like, oh man, I don't want to hear you either. And so, but you know, I surrendered. And of course went to college, and I know several of you that have graduated yesterday or within the last. How many graduated high school this year? How many graduates do we have? All right, we got yeah. I got four of them, and so I didn't know if there were any from that weren't in this area that graduated another day or last week or whatever. Because I know if you go south, they graduated a month ago, and you're like they're, any rate. Okay, so as we look this morning, and I thought, you know what, we have graduates, we have not only graduates from high school, but we have people that are getting ready to move on to another other ventures in their life, and as a matter of fact, I was told we have one that's getting ready to go into the military. How many are getting signed up and getting ready to leave for the military here shortly? Do we have any? Yeah, we got one in the back there. We need to keep him in prayer as well, right? Amen. God bless you, man. God bless you for making a decision to serve our country. So we have a lot of people that are just, they're stepping out. And so as I thought about the message for today, I wanted to have a message to encourage, and of course, mainly for our graduates. Obviously, that's what this is titled for. But it's just not for our graduates. It's for anyone starting new. It's for anyone starting fresh, and it's also for anyone who is deciding. He's like, "Come on, Dad, what are you doing? I got a voice. I want to share it." Thank you, Dad, for taking care of that. So, we're just real. Yeah, I did. Anyway, so, thanks, Dad, for taking care of the problem. No, how else do you say it? Anyway, God bless you. Okay, so, but today is for, listen, if you're here today and you think, I don't know what to do. Or maybe you're starting a new job. Maybe you're starting a new career. Maybe you're just trying to figure out how to make life work. Amen. How many in here is just trying to figure out how to make life work? Yeah. Man, I get up every day and I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you have for me today? And then there's sometimes where I go, Lord, don't make it complicated. Lord, don't put anybody in my path. And I put all the, I'm like, Lord, I want it new, but I don't want anything different. So, Lord, don't complicate my life, okay? And, of course, God doesn't operate that way. Amen. He will throw us into a war. And speaking of getting thrown into a war, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua. Now, for anybody that knows, Joshua is before Revelation. I'm just saying. Amen. Am I right? Is it before Revelation? Amen. Quite a bit before. All right, Joshua is the sixth book in your Bible. So you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. The reason Joshua follows Deuteronomy is because, this is a little lesson here, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Joshua finished Deuteronomy, and so right at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses dies. God hands off the torch, if you will, to Joshua, and so then Joshua picks up where Deuteronomy leaves off, saying, okay, God is handing off the torch to Joshua, saying, okay, I have a job for you, and so I want you to go, and I want you to do. And as we see Joshua preparing to lead, he is preparing a new stage in his life. God is preparing him for that new stage, and I think it's just appropriate for all of us today as well. Amen? And so we get into Joshua, and I love electronics. Not really. They disturbed me. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. We're going to start in Joshua 1, 6. And we're going to read 6 through 9. So open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. And again, remember, Joshua is before Revelation. Here we go. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look into this, as we look into what you have told Joshua, Lord, help us, each and every one of us, to apply this to our life. Father, I know that promise is not just for Joshua, but it's for all of us. For all of us that seek your face, for all of us that look toward your will and not our own. So, Father, I pray that as we look into this, that you would convict each and every one of our hearts to seek you like never before. And this, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, as we look at this, we're going to see the first promise here is, the first one we're going to see is God's promise of success. You know, God looks at Joshua and he says, Joshua, I've got something for you. I got something for you to do. I got a job for you to do. And listen, I'm going to tell you, for each and every one of us that have, and I'm going to use what they, and I hate this term, but I'm going to use it anyway. I'm going to use what they call Christianese. So some of you are going to go like, well, I don't understand that. But that's okay. I'm going to throw a word out there and then I'll explain it to you. Amen. So you can call me dictionary as well as pastor. So here we go. So for those of you who are saved, and what do you mean by saved? Born again. I hate that term, some people say. But Jesus says it in John chapter 3, that you must be born again. And if you're born again, then you become a child of God's. So anybody that is a child of God's, God has a job for you. God has a specific purpose for you in your life. No one is exempt from that. And by the way, if you're not saved, you're not born again, God has something for you too, but you first must be born again. And then when you're born again, you become a child of his, and then he has a job for you. Prior to that, he just doesn't have a whole lot for you to do until you get saved. Amen? And so, as you're looking at this, Joshua was God's. And Joshua, God said, Joshua, I've got a job for you. I have a specific task for you. For me, God gave me a specific task of coming to New York, East Greenbush specifically. And I'm telling you, God made it so clear to be right here. It was unbelievable, undeniable, which is the only reason I'm here, to be quite honest with you. There have been times in my life, in the last 11 years, Really the last 9 years, because the first two, it was a honeymoon stage for me in New York. Everything was grand, and I was like, woohoo, we're going to conquer the world. And about the third year in, I was like, woohoo, it's kicking my hiney. And then about the fourth year in, I'm like, I want to go home. Fifth year in, mommy! Right? That's kind of where I was at. And I had to work through that. And God says, listen, I got a plan for you, but you have deviated from your part. And you go, well, how did you deviate? You're in East Greenbush. See, my body was here, but my heart and attitude was somewhere else, which complicated where my body was. Do you guys understand that? So you can be in one place, and you can say, I've had people all the time, they're like, well, I love God, but your lifestyle is nothing like that. Or you know what? God has called you to do something. It's been very clear, but your attitude stinks. And so all of a sudden you hate it or you want out, and that complicates it, because now you're not following God the way he's told you to follow him. You know, Paul, I love it when Paul, we know that he had an eye problem. He couldn't see very well from whatever, we don't know. We also know that there was some Judaizers that would follow him and try to destroy every ministry that he was trying to build. And Paul cried out. And Paul said, Lord, take care of my infirmity. Now, whether it was his eye or whether it was this Judaizer, we don't know exactly. We do believe that it was his eye problem. And God told him, Paul, my grace is sufficient. In other words, he was saying, Paul, hold on to me. Paul, look to me. Paul, quit looking at you and quit looking at your problem and quit making your problem your excuse. Paul, stop. And you just look to me. I will give you strength. I will give you guidance. I will give you direction. Paul, quit focusing on you and your problem. How many here have ever given themselves an amazing pity party? Woohoo! Yeah, right? Hey, I've been there. And then when somebody comes along and tries to help you out with your pity party, now you're mad at that person and you don't want to hear it. Why? Because we're taking away your thunder from your party, right? And so it's like, man, dude, listen, you suck it up, buttercup. What's your problem? Right? And you're like, I don't want to hear that stuff. What do you want me? You want me to sit down and cry with you? Listen, I'm not going to do that. And it's so funny because people call me up, Pastor, I need to talk. And we talk. And then when we get done talking, they go, I don't like what you got to say. You're pretty harsh. Why would you say that? Why would you be that way? Well, why would you call me knowing that's how I am? Because the truth is, we want to hear the truth. Amen? And so I'm just telling you that we have issues, we have problems, but if your attitude is not right, you focus on the wrong thing. And when you focus on the wrong thing, your actions become wrong. And when your actions become wrong, everything just kind of becomes a detriment at that point. Amen? So he's telling Joshua, he's like, Joshua, listen, here's a promise. And the promise is that Moses is dead, Moses is gone now. Joshua, you're going to step up. And Joshua, you're the new leader. You're the new commander, Joshua. And I can imagine Joshua's like, what? Who, me? No, I didn't sign up for this, Lord. Lord, listen, I was watching Moses, and I was watching the people with Moses, and Lord, I just want to poke all of them in the eye, Lord, because you know how rebellious they are? I don't know if you've noticed, Lord, but they just kind of have a rebellious spirit. And so, Lord, you want to put me in charge? I don't want to be there, Lord. How many have ever done that, right? Joshua is getting put in a position, and God says, listen, Joshua, I promise you, look here in 1, 7, and 8. Look in your Bibles, 1, 7, and 8. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Look here in 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Do you see what God just did? God said, hey, Joshua, listen up. I know you think that you have a way to do it, and I'm telling you, your way leads to death. And Joshua, you need to hear me. Graduate, you need to hear me. Those of you starting a new position, you need to hear me. Those of you who are trying to figure out your life and what direction to go, and the whole world's crumbling around you and you don't know what to do and you have anxiety attacks and you're stressing out and you feel like everything is just smothering you. Hello. You need to hear me. Because here's what God said. God said, listen, Joshua, if you focus on me, if you meditate on my word, which by the way, he only had the first five books of the Bible, which are the books of Moses, the Torah, the all of that stuff. And so he said, listen, you have what it takes to be successful, but you got to meditate on that. And then once you meditate on it and you learn it, then you follow it. And when you follow it, you're going to have great success. See, most people go, I don't want to read the Bible. Or I'll say, man, are you doing it God's way or your way? Well, I'm tired of waiting on God. Oh, so it's your way. We always have these excuses because we think God is boring or unable. Or the biggest thing that we think God is, you ready? Slow. God, you're so slow. Where are you? Like, I wanted it last week, but I was willing to settle for yesterday. Right? Isn't that what we do? And then when God doesn't show up last week or yesterday, we're like, hey, I want it now. And God's like, really? Okay, I'll take it tomorrow. And God goes, no, you know what? It's in my time. It's funny because when I moved here, and if my wife was in here, she would confirm what I'm about to tell you is, when we moved here, I told her, I go, in 2 years, we're going to be running 900. So we got to get everything in place. Amen. Right? Hey, I had great aspirations and goals, and I'm like, we can do this. But the problem is we didn't run 900. And I'm going to tell you why we weren't running 900. Is because after year two, between year two and five, I was so focused on me and my pity party and my whining, crying, woe is me, somebody save me, God, you hate me because you sent me here attitude. Stop me from growing. And if it stopped me from growing, it stops us from growing. You understand what I'm saying? And so he's telling Joshua, you want to have good success? I promise you, you're going to have good success, but here's what you got to do. Look here in 7. We're going to read this again because I want you to grab hold of this. If you haven't highlighted this by now, you're slow. Listen, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do, there's that action word, listen, gird up your loins and then do what I've asked you to do. If you want success, success takes action. You got to do something. Man, I get so frustrated when I talk to people and they're like, well, I'm just waiting on God. Don't get moving. What are you doing, right? You want to kick them in the hiney. Okay, maybe it's just me. And so I'm like, what do you mean you're just waiting on God? Do you know what? Here's what I'd rather see you do. I'd rather see you keep going until God tells you to stop than for you to sit there and do nothing for 5 years waiting on God to say go. Because the truth is, in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, guess what God said? Go. And we were like, oh, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting. I'm praying about it. And it's like, hey, you know what? You're in year 18. Yeah, you think it's time to do something? And we just get lazy. We get, we think that, and now our attitude is that entitlement mentality. We think we're owed something. You're not owed anything. Man, I think of those who work and they're 16, they're coming out of high school. I want 15 an hour for my summer job. Man, when I was a kid, it was $2 and something, minimum wage. I worked my butt off for a whole week to make $200. And I actually knew what I was doing. And then these kids are like, I want $100,000 a year, and I want a house, and I want a BMW, and I want, and it's like, oh my goodness, this entitlement mentality. We need to stop that. Here's what God says: if you want to be successful, it's not a big paycheck. It is be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that the Word of God says. But most people don't even read the Word of God, let alone to do it. People are struggling, and I go, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? I don't have time for that, Pastor. Oh, I get it. I can't help you. What do you mean you can't help me? Because you're all about you. You haven't invited God in on it yet. See, I'm telling you, God says, and by the way, God can do more in 1 second for you than what you can in 10 years. But for some reason, we want to push God out because we think we can do it better and we can do it faster. So he says here, look, the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you to do, do not stray from it. Do you see that? Do not, listen, do not turn to the left or the right hand. In other words, don't stray from it. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to prosper. It's going to be good. But then he goes on, he doesn't stop. He says, this book of the law, in other words, this book right here, God's Word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Guys, do you, anybody, and I don't want to raise, I don't want anybody to show hands, but so far, has anybody realized what's missing in their life for success? I'm just curious, like you're doing a self-analysis of your actions. He says, listen, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has big plans for you. God has wonderful plans for you. God, listen, God isn't going to go over the top for you, but you got to seek Him. You have to invite Him in. God doesn't move, we do. When our life is frazzled and frayed and we feel like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And we're losing control. And we're like, God, where are you? And God's going, I am where you originally found me. I haven't moved. I have great plans for you, but you keep running away. I'm just telling you, God says, I have thoughts of peace and not evil to give you a future and a hope. God does not want you to fail. He doesn't. Man, He wants you to be successful. Then the second thing that God has for you is God's promise of security. God's promise of security. In 1:6, He says, be strong and courageous. That's what He tells Joshua. In 1:7, He says, be strong and very courageous. The battle's big. And you know, we have just as big of an enemy as Joshua ever had. And his name is Satan, the devil, the roaring lion, who is seeking to destroy you and I. No respecter of person. Listen, Satan does not give a rip about you. He doesn't. He's got one goal, one purpose, and that is to drag you underwater and hold you there until you drown. And then he says in 1:9, I command you, be strong and courageous. God has a promise of security. For if you are strong and you are courageous and you do the things I've asked you to do, I will take care of you. I will hold you. I will keep you secure. I will protect you from your enemy. You will have great success. And for some reason, we choose to do it on our own. God's too busy. Oh, yeah, I ask people. Man, have you been praying and ask God to give you guidance, ask God to take care of you? Well, He's got other people that He needs to take care of. What a prideful, arrogant answer. And you go, that's not prideful, that's humility. No, that's pretty prideful and arrogant. God has other people. He's too busy. Really? Do you realize what God could do in a second in your life, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye? In the twinkling of an eye, listen, the trump will sound, and in a twinkling of an eye, those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain will rise and be with God in the air. In the twinkling of an eye, he's going to take care of everyone who's ever believed in Jesus. And you think that he's too busy for you? Do you think he doesn't have something special for you? Then you don't know your Savior. And you sure don't know God the Father. Man, my daughters, listen. My daughters will come to me and they'll ask me for anything. As long as it doesn't have to do with money, I'm there. No, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give to my daughters. Why? Because I love them. Now, do I draw lines? Sure I do. Not because I don't want to give to them, but they need to learn and they need to grow. Right? They need to be mature. Listen, they need to learn how to pay their own bills when they get on their own. They need to learn how to pay for that stupid cell phone that's making them brain dead. They need to learn how to pay for that. If they're going to drive a car, they need to learn how to pay for the insurance. Oh, and if they're going to drive it, it needs gas. They better have money for gas. You need clothing? You better save your money because you're going to buy clothing. You fall on hard times, I'll be there. If you're hurting, I'll be there. You know, there are lines that we draw. Listen, God lets us grow up as well. Amen? So we let our children grow up. We're not going to enable them to do wrong or enable them to not be successful. And that's why God says, listen, if you do these things, you'll have great success. Because I'll be there, man. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to encourage you. Listen, when you fall down, I'll dust you off. I'll pick you back up. I'll help you back into the battle. But you got to do. And so many of us fail to do. Guys, I'm telling you, if you, listen, graduate, if you want to be successful in life, you better learn how to do. Lazy people, if you want to be successful in life, you better learn how to get up and do. Selfish people who think they're owed everything, listen, if you want the hand of God on you, you better get up and do. And that's the first thing he tells Joshua. You get up and you do. And then he tells him what to do. And he says, man, you're going to have great success. Why? Because I'm going to be there. So many of us fail because we run off and leave God behind. And then when we run into a problem, we want God to jump in there and save us. And it just doesn't work that way, guys. The third thing. By the way, I only have four. Amen? We're moving. So for our guests, this is not typical. All right, here we go. The third thing, God's provision of his precepts. God's provision of his precepts. Joshua 1:7. In 1:7, the provision is, obey all the laws that Moses gave you. Did you get that? Obey the word of God. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you want blessed, obey the word of God. While that book is so outdated, I don't care how old it is, obey the word of God. Listen, age has nothing to do with truth. This Bible was true 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and today. And by the way, it will be truth 2,000 years from now. Because the coolest thing about truth is it never changes. Truth is truth. It's not dependent upon you. Listen, you don't even have to like it. Right? For it to be truth. Truth is truth. He says, obey all the laws that Moses gave you. Don't turn from them. His precepts, you want success? Keep focused on me. That's what God says. In 1:8, he says, obey all that is written in it. Obey all that is written in it. Listen, if you want me, am I being repetitive? Good, because you know, typically we got to hear something 7 times before we actually grab hold of it. Amen? Maybe because God knew we were a little bit slow. Maybe some of us are related to Peter. I don't know. But he says, you know what? Meditate on it. Meditate on it. Guys, so many of us think we have it. And if we've left God out of it, we've missed it completely. Your struggles become real and they become great. Psalm 1, 1 through 6. I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 1, 1 through 6. And you can save Joshua because we'll go back to it. But Psalm 1, 1 through 6. And if you can put it up on the screen real quick, feel free to do that as well. Psalm 1, 1 through 6. Now, I want you to see this because you have to understand this. And so, graduate, if you don't grab anything, you grab this passage. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. First off, I want you to see the word blessed. That here in this passage, blessed literally means, are you ready? Say yes.
Yes.
Happy, happy. Like not just happy, but happy, happy. Woo! One of those happy, happies. So read it this way. Happy, happy is the man. Happy, happy is the person. If you look it up in the Greek, it literally means humankind. Happy, happy is the one who walks not. And now here's the next thing I want you to see. Sin, people go, well, I fell into sin. No, you pretty much chose to go that direction. You know, you can fall off a building, you can fall in a hole. You can fall off your bike. You can fall in mud. You can fall in a puddle. But you don't fall into sin. That is a blatant decision. And you go, I don't like that, Pastor. I said it up front. You're not going to like everything I got to say. Happy, happy is the one. And then look at the progression. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So you're walking and you notice a sin. Ooh, that's got my attention. And then, look here, stands in the path of sinners. Let me just check this out a little bit closer. Let me observe. And then sits in the seat of the scornful. Well, I might as well just go ahead and join them since I'm here. Right? Did you see the progression? You walk, it gets your attention. You stop, you look. And then the next thing you know, it's so intriguing, you join. Graduate, listen to me. You're starting a new venture in your life. And you know what? Here's the thing. And my daughters know this, and I've told them. I preached this last night. I preached it last week. I preached it last year. I'm getting ready to preach it now. So my girls are like, let me turn him off if I can. You're getting ready to venture into a new world. A world where mom and dad are not there at every turn. A world where mom and dad can't say, oh, what are you doing? Don't go there. A world where mom and dad can't say, no, you can't go there. No, you can't do that. A world where you're on your own. Where you're going to be out there and you're going to be doing things. And you're going to be tempted by people. Satan is going to get in the way and he's going to try and draw you away from all that you've been taught. Strip you of your core values. And I don't want anybody in this room to say, I would never do that, because I'm going to tell you, everyone that's doing it used to say, I would never do that. That will never happen to me. Really? You're about to venture out. And there's going to be things that as you're walking by minding your own business, Satan's going to go, hey, look over there. And you're going to go, whoa, what's that? Let me check that out a little bit closer. And before you know it, he's going to capture you and he's going to pull you down. And you're not going to know what to do. And you're going to make decisions that mom and dad are not going to be able to help you out of. You're going to make decisions that are absolutely going to strip you of all your integrity and your character and your morals and everything that was about you. And then Satan is going to make you feel worthless. He's going to make you feel defeated. He's going to make you feel like you're not of any value. And I want you to know God loves you. And so that'll never be true, but it'll always be true as long as you keep standing and sitting in that sin. Graduate, man, you have the whole world in front of you. And the things that you can do, oh my goodness, man. I'm talking blaze new trails where, as Star Trek would say, where no man has gone before. Do great things, do mighty things, but in the process, do not forget you have an enemy. And he'll take you down. man, you hold on to what you've been taught. Don't think for one minute that your mom and dad don't know anything. Remember all those times, look at the parents looking at their kids like, you hearing this? I'll do that when I get home. You remember when I said, no, I'm kidding. So he says here, blessed is the one who doesn't get caught up in sin. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Are you noticing success, the blessings that you get? Happy are you when you meditate in the word of God? In Joshua, we saw where God says, listen, you need to meditate on my word. In Psalm, we see here where it says, you need to meditate on my word if you want to be happy. Look here in 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now this tree was supposed to be like a cedar tree. And a cedar tree is planted by the water, and it's very healthy, and it grows, and it produces fruit. And the cedar tree is an incredibly strong tree that bugs won't eat. Remember, that's why, ladies, you got a cedar box, a cedar chest. Why did you get a cedar chest? So you can put everything in it and not worry about bugs getting in it. Well, you shall be like a tree. That literally, if you look it up, it is cedar tree. Strong, your roots run deep, man. You will not be uprooted. You will not be taken out. But you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Guys, listen. This isn't just a verse. This is an actual promise from God. Hello? This is a promise from God. These aren't just words. God says, if you stay anchored in me, man, you always produce fruit. It'll always be good. Whatever you do will prosper when it's the right time. See, guys, I'm telling you, God has so much that he wants to give us and that he promises us. But listen, we got to hold on to him first. The requirement is of us first. If you do, I will do. Isn't that what you've read? Isn't that what he told Joshua? Listen, I'm promising you success, but you got to hold my hand. So many of us want to go like, Lord, I'll be back. You stay there. I'll be back as soon as I'm done over here. Don't look, by the way. Right? And then we call somebody out and they go, well, you know, I'm only human. Nobody's perfect. How many times you want to? I know. All right. But now, so that's 1 through 3. They're the promises to the Christian. They're the promise to those who meditate on God's word. The promises to those who hold on to God's hand. But then he goes on, and in 4, it switches gears. Look in verse 4. The ungodly are not so. One says, blessed is the man who hangs on to Jesus. Verse 4 says, those who let go of Jesus, those who are ungodly, those who don't know God, listen, they're not so, but they're like the chaff the wind drives away. If you ever seen a wheat field, and the wheat field looks gorgeous, and wind comes through, and you see this dust kind of hovering over the wheat field blowing away. How many have ever seen that? Right? Yeah. So if you haven't, go on YouTube. I'm sure it's there. And so what you'll do is you'll see this dust going away. Well, guess what? That's the ungodly. Being blown away. They're of no use. They're the chaff. They're just what left behind. Guess what? They're of no value. It's the wheat that's of value. So the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Look here in 5. Therefore, what do you mean therefore? Because of what I just told you about the ungodly. Therefore, you got to go back one verse. Don't do it, but I'm just saying, if you're reading it. Therefore, because of that, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. And you go, we're not going to be judged? No, you're not going to stand in the judgment seat of Christ. Only the Christian stands in the judgment seat of Christ. And so therefore, if you are the chaff, if you're the sinner, if you're the one who's never called out to God, if you're the ungodly, if you're the one who has not taken and been born again, because remember, I told you in the beginning who the born again was. Therefore, the ungodly, those who have not been born again, those who have chosen their own way, shall not stand at the judgment seat of Christ, which is where only Christians can stand. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You're not going to be with those who are in heaven. That's literally what it means in 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall do what? Guys, I'm just trying to tell you. There are two ways to do everything. There's always two ways to do everything. And when we look at religion, there are 44,000 different religions in the world. Can I say this? Somebody's wrong. But the reality is there's only two. Man's way and God's way. There's two ways to do everything. The right way and the wrong way. And God assures us that your way is the wrong way and His way is the right way. And if you do it your way, you're going to perish. If you do it His way, you're going to live. And you go, well, that's an unfair God. Well, you know, since He created you, it's His rules. What I find interesting is we don't tell people who set up, like if you go down here and you join a club or whatever and you got to pay your dues and you got to do this and you got to do that and you're like, oh, I'm in, I'll do all that. You don't say they're unfair. Why do you say God's unfair? Because God seems to rob us? No, God is protecting us. Psalm 119, 9 through 11, if you'll put that up for me. This is still under God's provision. Or precepts, I'm sorry. God's precepts. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. How can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word? So we have the question and then we have the answer, which I've been telling you all morning, right? How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a person cleanse their way? How can this happen? By taking heed to the word of God. Guys, you can't do it on your own. I'd love to tell you go out there and it's your pearl and you can do whatever you want with it, but it's not. It's not. And you'll pay the price. Look here at 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. There's another version that says, I have tried my best to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. However you want to look at it, I want to tell you though, if you're going to jump in with God, you need to jump in whole, all in. All in. Because if the truth is, if you got one foot in here with Jesus and you got one foot in the world, God says you're lukewarm and I'll vomit you out of my mouth. That's harsh. But God says, I want you hot or cold. Either get on board or get away. But don't straddle it because, man, that's bad. That's bad. That means you're a manipulator. And I don't deal with manipulators well. I deal with them, but you don't like it. Be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. Look here at 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Guys, I'm telling you, that's the way to prosper. That's the way to win. That's the way to have God's hand on you. That's the way to have God's power on you. That's the way to have God's direction in your life. That is the way to have success. Success. If we follow man, how many different ways, oh my goodness, how many different ways do people say, oh, you can do it this way and it's okay. And it's okay if you do this or okay. No, God says, you know what? It's you do it my way. Do it my way. And you'll have great success. And then last, God's promise of His presence. Not presence as in here you go, the new phone, but presence as in here I am. Hello? God's promise of His presence. If you do it God's way, you might go, oh, that's boring. Listen, I can assure you, I have been born again now for, this will be 23 years this October. Yes. Whew, time flies. It has been far from boring. I can assure you. God has given me a whole lot of freedom to do a whole lot of stuff. It's far from boring. You just have to figure out what you want to do. Do you want to live for Jesus? And I'm telling you, it's crazy exciting. Or do you want to live in the world, which is also crazy exciting? Don't let me pretend like it's not. But there's a massive price to pay if you're playing in the world. and you're leaving God out. And you say, how do you know? Remember I said I was a 10th grade dropout? Believe me, I know. Remember I told you I lived on the streets? Believe me, I know. I assure you, I am not naive. I am a pastor, but I am not naive. And I can promise you, there's a massive price to pay. God's promise of his presence, Joshua 1:9. I want you to put Joshua 1:9 up for me, if you would. Thank you, sir. I want you to see it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. And then look at the promise. What does he say? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Young man, you're going into the military. Buddy, you're going to be getting in some ditches. Dig them well and get in deep. But may I encourage you, don't go without the Lord. Graduate, some of you are going into college. Man, am I praying for you. Colleges today, they have an agenda. And you go, oh, pastor, don't go there. No, you need to listen. Their agenda is pro anything against God. Their agenda is get God out, get conservatism out. Definitely get Jesus out. Well, you're not going to have any of that. Bring abortion in. Bring gay rights in. Bring whatever you want. You name it. It really doesn't matter. Listen, let them get drunk and crazy. They're just kids. Let them get it out of their system. Has anyone read any of the articles about kids getting it out of their system in college? And then do you read underneath of that where it's got the date of the funeral? Hazing. What's good about hazing? Drink until you pass out. And I mean drink. And what's happening is they're drinking faster than their body processes it, which means that they're literally poisoning themselves. And then when it goes into their body, it's too late to do anything. You can't bring them out of it. Colleges. If you're going in for a trade, here's what you do. You get in there and you let them do whatever they're going to do. But you stay focused. You stay focused on two things: God first and your agenda, which is your education, second. Don't get caught up in walking by and then it getting your attention and you stop, stand, and then you sit down and join. Don't get caught up in that. Kids, listen to me. And by the way, it's crazy because when I was 18, I was an adult. Today, the 26-year-old is equivalent to when I was 18. Why? Parents, you've messed up. You've been coddling and cradling and enabling for so long that they didn't get a chance to grow up. And now we're going to throw them out into a sea of piranha and tell them to do good, do right. Graduate, I'm telling you, you hold on to this. Military man, you hold on to Jesus. I'm telling you. Having lived both sides of the fence, I can assure you I know both sides of the fence, and I know them both very well. God says, be strong, be of good courage, don't be afraid. I'll be with you wherever you go. But I can assure you, if you say, hey God, you stay here and I'll be back, God will stay there. but you may not be back. Be very cautious. Don't think that I'm just a preacher up here preaching and I'm an old fuddy-duddy. Is that still a word today? Or is that like go way, way back? I don't know what you kids would call me today, but I'm going to tell you, listen, I am not old. Don't you do that. I feel like I'm pretty hip. Okay, it may be my only opinion. But I know how the world works. Mom, Dad, you know how the world works. You have this discussion with your 18-year-old before they run off to college. God says, I'll be with you wherever you go, but if you leave me, I'll be here when you get back if you should come back. It's a big world out there, and man, you can do some amazing things. But you can also do some amazing things that'll take your life. Strip your soul. Bring you down to nothing. Go into college and having these drunken, out of control parties, drugs, sex, alcohol, rampant. I can assure you nobody cares about you there. If they'll give you that mess, they don't care about you. If they'll feed you poison, they're not your friend. Go and always take the Lord with you. Be strong. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. God is there. If you invite Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, listen, you must be born again. You cannot go into the kingdom of God. There is but one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to heaven except through me. That's what Jesus says. And you may think you have another answer, but I assure you it's not right. You may think you have another direction. I assure you it's not correct. There is but one way, Jesus. And you may sit there and say, Pastor, I don't agree with you. The Bible says, one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. You do not have to agree with me today, but you will agree with me one day. If you're going to have success, no matter what you are doing or where you are going, and it doesn't matter how old you are, Joshua 1:9 needs to be your verse. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be dismayed. God is with you. If you don't have that assurance or you don't have that promise, or in your heart of hearts you're sitting there, and if I were to ask you this question, if you were to die right now, do you know that you would go to heaven? It's just a simple question, but only you can answer it for you. I cannot answer it for you. This is a heart question. This is between you and God. And if you sit there and say, wow, that's a strong question, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then you're not going. Not being rude, I'm just saying, those that know God know they're going. And so I want to give you this opportunity. If it's your desire to know that heaven is your home, then I want you to pray this prayer. But understand, the words are not what save you. It is your heart attitude toward these words. I believe them. That's your heart attitude. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? He conquered death and hell. He's at the right hand of the Father. If you do, I want you to pray this prayer. You don't have to understand it all, but you need to cry out to Jesus. Quietly in your heart, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have done wrong. I have made poor decisions. I have messed up. I know I've done things that weren't right. I may have had good reason, but they still weren't right. And for those, I asked you to forgive me. Today I repent. I am going to turn from this way that I've been going, which has been going away from you, Lord. I'm going to turn from going that direction, and I am going to face you and walk in your ways. I asked you to forgive me of my sin. And today I give you my life.